Take your Bibles and go with me, if you would, to John chapter number 9. John chapter number 9. We looked at the opening of this chapter a number of Wednesday nights ago, so that was part one. I'll review a little bit this evening, but let me encourage you, if you're not in the habit of joining us on Wednesday nights, we'd love to have you. There's still plenty of room. I've seen several out scalping tickets, in fact, but there's plenty of room on Wednesday nights. We'd love to have you join us, but I needed to finish this character out tonight. We've got several special things coming up. This coming Wednesday night, we're privileged and honored to be able to have Brother David Sommerdorf with us. He'll be speaking in the evening service. I know the kids will be at camp. They'll be listening to the preaching of Brother Matt Herbster and look forward to that. I know that he will bless their hearts, but for us back here on the home front, Brother Sommerdorf will be joining us, a longtime servant of the Lord, and also served in our United States military, and appreciate him and his wife and their family. And so we look forward to hosting him on Wednesday night. Then, of course, next Sunday we'll be back in Daniel, and then next Sunday night, special services with communion. We'll have a number of different testimonies from the return of the young people from camp. And so look forward to that special service as well. But I wanted to finish out this character study, and I'll review just a little bit as to what we looked at on that Wednesday night. But for the longer look, get the CD and see Brother Belk or listen to it on the app there. I know that folks work and put forth the effort to be able to upload our services and sermons, and I appreciate that investment that others may hear. John chapter 9, we begin reading in verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay, and said unto him, Go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. We looked at the opening section of these verses, and verses 1 through 5, we find this issue, a principle taught. The disciples wondered who had sinned. Was it the man or his parents that had caused him to be born blind? But the Lord Jesus Christ reveals a principle here. And he said it wasn't this man nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And we can see how all of that unfolds. This man would be able to give glory to Almighty God. He had suffered greatly, no doubt, from the blindness from the time of his birth. But the principle is taught in these opening verses. Looked at that in the first message. The disciples had made a hasty assumption, and the Lord Jesus gave a heavenly answer. And so we looked extensively at that. Then verses 6 and 7, we find a miracle wrought. Number one, a principle taught. Number two, a miracle wrought. The Bible says that God healed this man. Imagine what it would be like to see for the very first time. To have been born blind, to have endured blindness, to never see the sunrise, to never lay eyes on mom and dad, to never lay eyes on brothers and sisters. Although many might say that wouldn't be so bad, right, kids? We find that Jesus heals him. And what a tremendous story. And we find several things that are involved in the healing. The Bible says that Jesus spat on the ground. He made clay. Then he took that and anointed his eyes. And the Lord encouraged his faith. And then he exercised his faith. The Bible says he had to do what the Lord had commanded. And he went his way and washed and then came seeing. And we see that at different times throughout Scripture where there's a challenge for a man's faith. In other words, God does so much for us. But I've yet to see God do for us what we can do for ourselves. And this is the principle. Folks, step out and do what God would have you to do. And trust God for what you can do. And oh, it's wonderful to see God do what only He can do. And I trust that all of us will step out on faith and see God work the miraculous. So verses 1 through 5, a principle taught. Verses 6 and 7, a miracle wrought. Now we come to verses 8 to 34. Verses 8 to 34. We won't take time to read this at this point, but here's the third point. A confession fought. A confession fought. How in the world could they deny what was taking place in this man's life? Let's ask the Lord's blessings upon our time, then we'll jump into this section this evening. Father, thank you for the privilege to be able to hold forth the Word of God tonight. I pray that it would be a help for all that have come. It may be that there are those that stand in need of a miracle tonight. But I pray, Father, that before they see you do what only you can do, that each one of us would take the steps and just take steps of obedience to do what we ought to do. And we can see great things accomplished by your hand if we would walk faithfully and obediently in your path. I pray, Father, that you would direct us as we continue in this story and see what the Lord did, what the disciples did, what this man did, what his parents did, and what the opposition did. Lord, as we continue, may it be a help for all that have come tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We come to this third section, a confession fought. A confession fought. Well, what takes place after he's healed? Let's look at verse number 8. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he's like him. But he said, I am he. Now imagine the argument. Imagine how they would argue through this process. And the gentleman says, guys, it's me. And there are those in the crowd saying, I don't think so. This is what unfolds in these verses. They want to fight against this man's confession of what had taken place. Notice number one with me in verses 8 through 15 that they attack his person. They first attack his person. He answered and said, verse number 11, a man that is called Jesus made clay and anointed mine eyes and said unto me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Then said they unto him, where is he? He said, I know not. Bring this Jesus out here. Let's see him. Let's hear his testimony of how these events unfolded. The man goes further. They brought to the Pharisees him that aforetime was blind. And it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Oh my, we know we dare not mess up the Sabbath. Because the day is more important than helping the individuals. The Bible says in verse number 15, then again the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay upon mine eyes and I washed and do see. Therefore said some of the Pharisees, this man is not of God, because he keepeth not the Sabbath day. Others said, how can a man that is a sinner do such miracles? And there was division among them. Oh my goodness. Look at these attacks. As this man has received the miraculous, as this man has been benefited by the Lord Jesus Christ, they are furious. They're furious that Jesus would heal him. They're furious that it would occur on the Sabbath. But I tell you, the one significant verse is found in verse number 25. I'm going to jump to it. Would you see that in verse number 25? He answered and said, Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. The attack against a man that had been blind, and now he sees. They attack his person. The Pharisees are furious over what Jesus has done and the fact that it's occurred on the Sabbath day. I think it was a Sunday, because I think I was in a suit and tie. And Brother John and I came across the car with a lady with children not far around the corner from our house. He had stopped. I think I'd seen him stop, and so I pulled in. I think I still had on my tie. John was still in his Sunday clothes. And we stopped to help that lady change the tire. Now, I don't tell you that because I want you to come to us afterwards and say, my, wasn't that something? We did what you should do. This lady has two small children in the vehicle. She's stranded alongside of the road. To beat all, she did not have, I think, some key components. She did have a spare, but she did not have some of the key components for changing a tire, which made some things tricky, but we got through it. John held the car up while I took the lug nuts off. And it's what you should do. But do you know that the Pharisees would have looked at that situation, not so, I cannot soil my hands, it's the Sabbath. We dare not honor the day more than we desire to help people. And it's interesting, as the Lord interacted with the disciples and then interacted with the Pharisees, at how he was pointing them to their relationship to him, the Lord of the Sabbath. Pastor, I couldn't make church on Sunday night. Well, let me tell you an example. I was sitting watching football, and all of a sudden I hear this tink, tink, tink. Oh man, that's kind of odd. And so I turned off the sound and tink, tink. Like, what in the world? So I get up out of that comfortable couch on a Sunday afternoon. I decide I better investigate. So I start looking in the doors there in our basement and going into the rooms, and where is this coming from? Lo and behold, our refrigerator water line had sprung a leak. Sunday afternoon at 4:30, and church is at 6 o'clock. And here's what's happening. It's actually been ting, 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 ting for a while, but I was sleeping and I didn't hear it. What do you do when that kind of thing happens? Oh, I went to church. I'll just trust God. Well, when you get back and you're wearing waders in your basement, that may not be the best choice. So what would God have me to do? Well, I genuinely think if emergencies like that arise, that you can take care of it. Now, if every Sunday night you come to me and say, you know, another water leak, Pastor, couldn't make it, I'm going to start to think that something's up. But you know, these Pharisees were so focused in on the nobility of their religiosity that here, when a man is actually helped, they want to fight against it. They want to make accusations against the Lord Jesus Christ. They want to make accusations against the man himself. There's no way you could see. And he says, guys, you can debate this all day long, but I know this. I once was blind, but now I see. If we had driven past the lady, rolled down our window and said, sorry, we can't help, it's the Lord's day, I don't think she would have said, my, that's wonderful. Be warmed and filled. If I wouldn't have done something to turn the water off in the basement, I would have come home and it would have been a catastrophe. More so than it was. We want to take the opportunity to help people. Why? Because the lost soul of a man is an eternal matter. Did the Lord Jesus heal him on the Sabbath? Yes, but he was the Lord of the Sabbath. And he came to point people to their relationship to him. The first thing that they do is attack his person. Then, number two, that's not really getting anywhere, so now they're going to attack his parents. Look what the Bible says in verse number 18. But the Jews did not believe concerning him. I don't get it. This is how blind they were. The Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son who ye say was born blind? How then doth he now see?" So they're going to attack his parents. They're going to go after him. They're going to do everything that they can to destroy the testimony of the change in this man's life. We cannot have him going and telling anybody else what Jesus has done for him. And so we're going to attack him. We're now going to attack his parents. Look at what his parents say. His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eyes, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. These words spake his parents because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if any man did confess that he was Christ, he should be put out of the synagogue. They feared the loss of position there in the synagogue. Here their son has been made to see, and they cannot stand up for their son. They cannot take a stand with their son. They cannot rejoice with him. They cannot buffer him. They're too nervous about what will be said about them, lest they be removed from this place in the synagogue. So number one, they attack his person. Number two, they attack his parents. And then verses 24 to 34, they're going to attack his position. His position of God did a miracle. Verse number 24, they turned their attention back to him. Then again called they the man that was blind and said unto him, "Give God the praise, we know that this man is a sinner." He answered and said, and this is the verse we read, "Whether he be a sinner or not, or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see." Then said they to him again, "What did he to thee? How opened he thine eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and ye did not hear. Wherefore would ye hear it again? Will ye also be his disciples?" In other words, are you going to convert? If you actually listen this time to what God did, are you going to change your mind about him? The Bible says, then they reviled him and said, "Thou art his disciple, but we are Moses' disciple." We know that God spake unto Moses, "As for this fellow, we know not from whence he is." The man answered and said unto them, "Why, herein is a marvelous thing, that ye know not from whence he is, and yet he hath opened mine eyes. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered and said unto him, "Thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us?" And they cast him out. You see, this is a man that's uneducated. This is a man that's never been to the Pharisaical seminaries. This is a man that doesn't have all the degrees on his wall. And he just goes at it again and again by saying, "I don't care what you guys say. I know what Jesus did. I know He changed my life. Oh, that we would get this kind of a spirit. I know there's occasions in which we're nervous about speaking to a lost person because we may not know what to say. Well, what if they ask me a question and I don't know the answer? What if they ask me some theological matter and I can't give the truth from the Bible? Well, what should I do? Boy, my friend, I tell you one thing you can do. You can state the obvious. This one thing I know, I once was blind, but now I see. I know what I was, and I know that I am no longer in that same condition. I know the Lord Jesus Christ. If you were here Wednesday night, you remember the testimony of the missionary that was here Wednesday night. A gentleman in his 80s, serving the Lord in Japan. And I'll be honest with you, I was nervous for him when we first met. I thought, boy, can this gentleman stand and preach? But I tell you what, when he got behind this pulpit, he had great energy. And what wasn't it a great story right after he came to know Christ and he was out on the streets with them street preaching and they said, it's your turn. And he said, turn to do what? He'd never done that before, had no idea what that meant. And he said, well, I don't know what I'm going to say. And they wisely responded, just tell them what Jesus did for you. Is this the man that was once the drunkard? We don't believe it. Who is this man to be able to teach us who came out of Bible college a matter of the things of God? And he declares, guys, you might have sat in the classroom. I might not have the same amount of knowledge, but I know this. That I once was the drunkard, but God made me new. Is this the drug addict? Is this the one that had given himself over to the flesh? Is this the one that was once involved in all of these fleshly appetites? And they would declare, this is what I once was, but I met Jesus, and this is what Jesus did for me. The best thing that you and I can do is to have a testimony before a lost and dying world, a testimony of change. Jesus has worked in your heart. Jesus has made the difference in your life. Say, this is the kind of dad I used to be, but Jesus changed my life, and this is the dad I am today. This is the kind of husband that I used to be, but Jesus changed my life, and this is the husband that I am today. Recognizing that Jesus makes all the difference in the world. How often could we come back to this verse and just insert ourselves into that verse? You guys can debate it. You can be discouraging about the matter. You can say all manner of things against me in attacking myself, in attacking my parents, in attacking my stand on the Lord Jesus Christ. But this one thing I know, I once was blind, but now I see. And my friend, in that area, there is no debate. These words spoken by his parents. Hey, we don't want to lose our position. Let our son speak for himself. But I tell you, he took such a strong stand that there in the end, the Bible says they cast him out. You know what? When you take a stand for the Lord Jesus Christ and what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you, can I declare to you tonight that it may cost you? I'm not saying that it's going to cost us all the same thing, but it may cost you. Say, well, I once had all of these friends lined up, and on a Friday night, I'd have all manner of individuals that would gather around me. And boy, we had a great time. But now that I've gotten saved, they've all gone away. Would you stay with the Lord Jesus Christ and let all those others go away? I once had position. I once had popularity. I once had all of this available to me. But now that Jesus has changed my life, it's created a whole new world. I tell you what, we have to realize tonight that Jesus is more than anything. They attack his person. They attack his parents. They attack his position because they fought against his confession. The opening section, a principle is taught. The next section, a miracle is wrought. And then they fight against this confession, which brings us to the fourth section of this chapter, verses 35 to 38. Jesus has been absent from the conversations that he's been having with the Pharisees. Physically absent, if you would. But now Jesus comes back on the scene, verse number 35. And here's the fourth section in this chapter. A sinner bought. We start out with a principle taught. We have a miracle wrought. We have a confession fought. And the last section here, a sinner bought. The Bible says in verse number 35, and Jesus heard that they had cast him out. And when he found him, he said unto him, dost thou believe on the Son of God? He answered and said, who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? And Jesus said unto him, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Can you imagine what that would be like? To lay eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ? Again, when they had interacted before, the man would have heard Jesus' voice. And as Jesus knelt down or went down to make that clay mixture, he would have heard the Lord's voice. He would have felt the Lord's hands as he put it on his eyes. But at that point, he could not see, so he does not know the face of the Lord Jesus Christ. But now, after they have fought against him, after they persecuted everything they can, Jesus comes back to this man. The Bible says that they put him out. We'll show this guy. We're going to put him out of our midst. And Jesus comes back, and the Bible says that he lays eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. How beautiful a face of the Lord. What a wonderful thing to lay eyes on the Savior. Maybe he thought he'd never see this man in his lifetime. But he has opportunity to lay eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus says, thou hast both seen him, and it is he that talketh with thee. Look at verse number 38. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words and said unto him, are we blind also? Jesus said unto them, if ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth. The Lord Jesus Christ is such a stark contrast in holiness to the facade of holiness that was found in the Pharisees. Jesus Christ, as I mentioned this morning and mentioned again and again, knew no sin. He never thought one thing evil. He never did one thing evil. He never said one thing evil. He was perfect. The Pharisees put on airs that they were perfect, but the Lord Jesus Christ called them whited sepulchers, full of dead men's bones. And what a contrast here between what is now a righteous man and what are religious men. And would you please see with me tonight as we kind of close out this look at this man, would you please understand, no religious man will make his way into heaven. But all kinds of people that have been made righteous in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ will arrive home there. Now think with me for a moment, and we were discussing this here in recent days. Aren't you glad that heaven is based upon what Jesus has already done and not what we have to do? I want you to think about this for a moment. Would you pretend with me that heaven was based upon what you and I can do to get there? Would you think about that for a moment? You arrive home to heaven because you gave thousands of dollars to a church, and you walk in the gates of heaven expecting everyone to stand because of what you gave. And then lo and behold, someone else arrives and they've not given thousands of dollars, but they've labored for free every Friday night cleaning out the church building. And they arrive home to heaven expecting that there'll be a standing ovation for all of their labor. And then lo and behold, in comes some nursery workers. Oh my, if anyone deserved to go by works, the nursery workers would surely be there. But they probably wouldn't want to go for fear that the Lord would already have them signed up to be in the nursery in heaven, right? No. Look at what I've done. Folks, let's be honest. Let's think this through. If we arrived in heaven based upon what we have done, how long would heaven be enjoyable? Oh. Do you see who's coming on that cloud? I am so sick and tired of hearing why he deserves to be here and we don't. Oh, can you see? Oh, here we go again. You've been around people like that before on this side. Can you imagine if it was like it on that side? But you know the wonderful thing about heaven? We do not get there based upon our own religion. We do not go to heaven based upon our own righteousness. We go to heaven based upon what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. And every single one of us will make the same statement having arrived home in heaven. Praise God that Jesus died for my sins. I don't deserve this, but I put my faith and trust in Him and He changed my life. It is not by works of righteousness which we have done. It is according to His mercy that He saves us. The Pharisees are so focused in on what they can do to destroy the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're so focused in on what they can do to destroy this man's reputation. They're so focused in on their honoring of the Sabbath that they miss heaven. Clinging to their own righteousness, they die in their sins. And without Jesus Christ, they go into a Christless eternity. This man had one declaration. I don't know what you guys are talking about, but I know this. I once was blind, and now I see. And in the end of this story, a sinner is bought. Jesus Christ would pay the price for this man's sin. And I'm telling you what it must have been like. Now just think with me for a moment. This man, in all likelihood, outlived the Lord Jesus Christ's earthly ministry. And if you would allow me the opportunity to kind of pretend or to wonder at what it was like when this man finished out his years and had the best sight he could have throughout the remaining portion of his life forever changed. He met Jesus. But my friend, the Bible says that death is appointed unto every one of us. And so there would have come a time that this man would have passed away. The Bible says to be absent from this body in Christ is to be present with the Lord. What it must have been like when this man laid eyes on Jesus in heaven. Boy, if that don't tickle your spiritual bone, I don't know what would. That ought to get you and I stirred. The first that he sees Jesus and realizes that Jesus has changed his life. He once was physically blind, but now he can see. And for the remaining portion of his life, he is changed. And you might debate it. You might doubt it. But he simply says, I can see. But if that were the only the benefit from meeting Jesus, it would have only been temporary. But he came to Jesus Christ and his life was forever changed spiritually. Two times in this man's life in which he would have laid eyes on Jesus, it would have been ever so special. When Jesus comes back and meets him and in the midst of all this debate, and then the time after his passing, and he arrives home in heaven and lays eyes on Jesus once again. I wonder when my faith will be made sight. I wonder when your faith will be made sight. Will I look on my Savior very soon? I don't know. But I know this. There was a time in my life that I was lost in darkness. But Jesus saved my soul. There was a time that I was blind, but now I can see. And that sight is based not on my righteousness or what I can do with my religion. That sight is based upon the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. Do you, my friend, know Him? Are you, my friend, showing forth His praises with your life? Tremendous story here in John chapter 9. Great verse to close the message tonight. Whether he be a sinner or no, I know not. One thing I know, that whereas I was blind, now I see. Let's pray.